What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
What's good? It's Jack Dance.
What's good? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and this is Artist Spotlight. Yo, we have a legend. Her name would shake rooms when you heard it because you just knew not to play. That was your reputation. Do not play. She's coming. Don't play. That was always the reputation you had. So everybody always came very correct when they came at you. I want everyone to give a warm welcome to super songwriter, producer, talent, Makeba Riddick. I'm gonna go right. Okay. I know you're married now. I didn't want to disrespect. You know, sometimes we do that in our business. Women get married and we forget that.
Makeba Riddick, that's how y'all.
Okay, that's perfect. Perfect. So how you doing?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is something that we've been wanting. I think Jack might have approached me when he first came on board. I think he might have been the first person he pitched over a year ago, like McKee. But I'm like, hell yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, a year later, that lets everybody know that it's all about God's timing. Sometimes you might think it's supposed to happen today, but it might not be today,
Absolutely.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
This is Artist Spotlight. And on this, we kind of give an insight to like the journey, the steps, the missteps. So the artists, the creatives, they watching, they can learn from a fellow creative, but also a GOAT creative. Because you know how it is when we was coming up, you always wanted, like, I don't know about you, but I know for us, we always wonder, am I doing it right? And I think a lot of people in music wonder that, like, they haven't made it. Like, am I doing it right?
Yeah.
And then you get to a place where you did it right once, and now you're like, I know what to do now.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So so with that being said, were you an artist first?
I was never an artist.
Okay, so
I never wanted to be an artist.
So that's why I wanted to start here.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 songwriters, from my guesstimation, were artists first.
Yeah.
Because usually, you know, and then they find out that Deja, were you artist first? Writer too? Okay, good. It's two. Y'all two out of like
a million,
like literally 10,000, like maybe 4 out of 10,000.
Yeah.
J Cash, he never was an artist.
Yeah.
But what made you, how do you even think to yourself, not being an artist, that I can write words for other people? Like, where do you get that confidence from? It's because you wasn't an artist. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah, I mean, when I was little, probably 6 years old, my mom discovered that I could play the piano. And I would just
play naturally.
I could play whatever I heard on the radio. And I would be singing along with it. And she got me a piano. And so at that point, I started making up little songs to write. And very, very young. I'm talking before middle school. And that's where it came from. I just loved to write songs. I would just sit at my piano and just write songs. And by the time I got to high school, performing arts high school, I had to take piano lessons.
Yeah.
And anybody who plays piano knows that it becomes very technical.
Yes.
And I lost a little piece of just sitting there playing. Like I would put on Jodeci and I could just play. I would play Lately and sing that for my mother.
What?
And that's where it came from. And that's where I think the desire to write songs came from. I went in the studio for the first time when I was 17 and recorded my first song, and I just always loved to do it.
You recorded your first song knowing you was going to give it to somebody, or wanted to at least.
I just recorded my first song knowing that I was writing a song that would be recorded. Now, I'm going to tell you a very interesting story about that.
Sure.
The producers that took me in the studio when I was 17 years old, 20 plus years ago from now, I linked up with them in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen them in over 20 years, right? And they were like, let's get in the studio. Let's write something for old time's sake. I was in somebody's garage in D.C. I was going through a situation, And I wrote this song with them. Mind you, they're the first ones that took me in the studio exactly. ever.
Yep.
That song wound up becoming, long story short, my first gospel song placement that went number one for 52 weeks, longest running song.
Let's clap for that. That's incredible.
Gospel history. With the first producers that took me in the studio. So that just goes to show you, you know, just longevity, right? You never know when it's going to happen with a producer or a collaborator. We hadn't worked together in over 20 years and that happened. So,
what was your first...
Shout out to 1UP Entertainment.
Shout out to 1UP Entertainment. Yes. Shout out to you guys. What was your first break?
That's interesting.
I love how you tell stories, by the way. Go. Just go. I want to hear it.
You asked me when we started this interview, did I ever want to be an artist? So I'm going to go back to that question because this is very pivotal. So I was writing songs in and around New York with Curtis Richardson, who put me in the game, my songwriting collaborator and friend. And we just so happened to write this song in Ron G's basement, right? Mm-hmm. Ron G was a big producer in New York.
Shout out to Ron G.
So he had gave us a track, instrumental, which was just like organ and keys. We wrote this song playing around in his basement.
Yeah.
I'm writing in and around New York. I would go up to Boston. I would go down to Virginia working with everybody. And I'm thinking to myself, when is this going to happen? I've been writing now for how many years, just sending out demos, recording demos. When is this going to happen? And so Max Goose.
Shout out to Max Goose. I love this story.
Max Goose flew into New York from L.A. and he said, I heard about you. I've been hearing your demos. I said, yeah, I've been recording for a long time. I gave him my demo CD, 17 songs. He listened to all 17 songs and then played it back again like, for real? Are you serious?
Yeah.
For real?
Yep.
You really want to do this?
Yeah.
I say, yeah. I've been sacrificing for a long time. And so he must have taken the Ron G song to Dave McPherson. Or he took my demo CD to Dave McPherson, right?
Dave McPherson used to run Epic.
Epic. He was the president of Epic Records.
Signed B2K. He was the golden child of A&R for a very long time.
Definitely. Yep.
At this time, he was also working on Jennifer Lopez's album, right? The album wound up becoming This Is Me Then with hits like Jenny from the Block. Mm-hmm. And so Dave McPherson told Max Goose, I love it. She's dope. She's great. If she's really that great, though, tell her give me a single for Jennifer Lopez. Tell her bring me that song we need. Just joking, right? And so I gave Max the Ron G song that we did.
Yeah.
I didn't know, like, I was like, all right, here's another one. Here's another demo we've been working on. I get a call in my little Brooklyn apartment, you know, eating a can of tuna fish. Hello, this is Dave McPherson's assistant. He'd like to have a word with you at Epic Records. I'm like, okay, you know, what is this about? I didn't even know who Dave McPherson was.
Yeah.
And so he said, I want you to come down to my office. I heard this demo that you did. We want to use it for Jennifer Lopez's album. It's called All I Have. Can you actually come down to the Hit Factory and meet with Corey Rooney right now? Because they want to cut it tonight. And I'm like, huh? Jaw hit the floor. Mm-hmm. What? What is this? You playing right now. And he was like, no, I'm not. We actually need to get this album done, and we really love this song. Yeah. We think it has single potential. Yeah. And so I went down to the Hit Factory, worked with Corey, finished the record. Curtis came down, who I co-wrote the record with, and they called LL Cool J. He came and put a verse on. Mm-hmm. And it was so early in my career, I didn't know what it meant to have a number one record.
Mm.
And Curtis said, when the record came out and it went number one and it probably been number one on Billboard for like 3 weeks, do you know what this means? Do you know what it means to have a number one record? I was like 20.
Yeah.
I was like, everybody's playing it, I guess that's what it means. And he was like, everybody around the world. And he sent me the numbers of the listening audience of how many radio stations and how many people were listening around the world. 600 million in listening audience. Mm. This was before streaming, right? Yeah. And even that still didn't compute. I just knew I wrote a record that everybody was singing.
Yeah.
You know, my cousins
was... You didn't have to eat tuna no more.
Yeah, like, right. Exactly. So I knew I was on my way. And that became... That was my number one... My first number one record.
Yeah. So hold on. So... So I just want to tell y'all why this is impactful. Like, I've been managing Teron 19 years now. Mm-hmm. Teron didn't have his first number one till year 17.
Wow.
Yeah. Like Hot 100 number one, it was Lizzo's About Damn Time. Those don't come up. Those don't come along.
Yeah.
Like that often. So to come out, I just have one question.
Yeah.
Were you in a pub deal?
Was I? I was not. But ooh. I was not
number one
yet.
In a pub deal?
I was not God. Yet. But from that, from that, I got a publishing deal.
Of course you did.
Absolutely.
It was incredible.
Like, they were coming at me like sharks in the water.
Your first record that you put out, number
first
one?
First record.
Mm. Now I understand. Because you got to remember, like, as much as I've heard your name, it was always with, like, this regard and respect that it was like, it was different. And I understand why now. Number one out the gate, that's Jonte Austin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jonte Austin, the only other person I know that number one out the gate.
Yeah, out the gate. I did not understand what that meant.
Yeah.
I didn't. I don't come from a family that was in the music industry or, you know, was reading Billboard magazine or even knew what that was.
Yeah.
So, you know, fresh out of Berklee College of Music, I had my music business degree. So really, honestly, I had a plethora of things that I could do.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know, do I want to really pursue songwriting? Do I really want to pursue maybe being an executive at a label?
Yeah.
Do I want to sing? I could sing. I could go and sing background for Alicia Keys. It was so many things that I was thinking that I could do.
Yeah.
And then when I got this number one record,
God wrote it for you.
Yeah. Mm. He wrote it for me.
He told me.
Yeah.
This
he
what
said,
you
"This
doing.
What you gonna do?
Exactly.
This is what you gonna do." And my friend Curtis and I speak about him a lot because, again, I was very young. I was very naive. I was in New York City by myself, lived out in Canarsie, which if you're from New York City, you know that's about 2.5 hours from the city during the daytime.
The very end of Brooklyn.
Right.
The last stop on the L train. The last stop.
Before you get to Coney Island.
Yes.
And so when I would get out of the studio at 2 a.m. in the morning, the trains were only running maybe every hour and a half maybe. And so I would be on the train platform by myself, just sitting down there, just waiting for the train.
Mm. As a woman.
As a woman.
And that is dangerous, by the way.
And it's dangerous, which I didn't know at that time. I just was like, I got to get it. I'm out here to get it. I'm from Baltimore, where I come from. Nobody has done this on this level yet. I have something to prove.
I'm the one. Mm.
Right? And so I would be on the A train. The A train was the longest train ride, which was about an hour outside the city, and I would fall asleep sometimes. I wake up, it's rats.
What?
On the train. It didn't bother me.
I want to stay right there for a second.
Go ahead.
I want to stay right there. Because coming, you know, there's a lot of things that I can relate to with that. Coming from that era, this is before MP3s.
Oh, yeah.
Very early in the game. And, you know, we're of the same generation, same age range. Mm-hmm. Talk to the people about being a female. I know what it was like as a man.
Mm-hmm.
The grind
every
day, going outside, no money, but we made it happen.
Yeah.
We were doing stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't even know we was making things happen. We was making it happen.
We was going somewhere.
Yeah.
It was just there, and it seemed like we all had it.
Because
I see a lot of us now in different positions, and we're all doing pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at that time,
it
was, listen, you had to stretch $5, $10 for 2-3 days.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, you had to sacrifice to go out to certain events. Like, listen, I got to pay for this dude. I might not eat tomorrow.
But here's the most important part. We still had to smile.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You was fucked up. You was broke. You didn't have nothing working in your favor. You didn't have no support. And you still had to smile.
Show
because
up.
Because they don't care about where you come from. And they don't know they don't know you was just sleeping on a train.
Mm-hmm.
They're at work and they just want to work with people that got good energy. And good energy, a smile, takes us so much further in the grind than anybody else. Cause you get to this place where you don't even know what people do. Like it's like, unless you're in a room with like a Curtis or a Ron, like you said Ron G, I thought he was a DJ.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he produced it until you said that.
Yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say? So you'll hear names and associated with different sectors of their life. But you don't think about all of the other things that they got going on and everything else. And not only that, you don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like they said, oh, this is a 20-year-old black girl that's sleeping on the train. We love her song. Let's put it out. They was like, this is the best record.
Right. Get her down here.
Get her down here.
No, he called me like, can you get here?
Exactly.
It wasn't like, you know, I'm going to send a car service for you.
No. You get here.
Can you get down to the hit factory?
I'm like,
I got $3, but I'll get down there. I will get there and help Jennifer finish this record.
I just want to ask all of y'all a question. Just... because we're smiling, do you, obviously you probably don't miss the way your pockets was in them days, but the purity of those days.
Yes.
Do you miss it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It felt so pure because it was almost, I'm not damaged by the game yet. I just got a dream and I just want to live it, man.
Yeah.
If you can help me, it's
we
crazy.
We didn't care that we had little money in our pocket. Because we were excited doing what we were doing.
Right.
You said no MP3s, I used to drive to New York to play D Dot the music.
Mm. Wow.
Because I didn't want to send it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, he might not listen to
it. Right, I got to be there.
And now I'm like, I'm dry. I used to drive 12 hours.
Yeah. Woo.
Meet him in the studio, play the record, go crash at my homegirl, Chloe house, go crash house, wake up in the morning, drive back to New York, drive back to Atlanta by myself.
Yeah.
To play you two songs.
Yeah.
That shit was so satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It meant so much to me. I remember, and let me tell you something. Because I flew, because I drove, I remember every word he said. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like we critique the music.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just, you don't hear it because you like, man, I'm trying to get on.
Yeah.
When he was like, because I thought it was good.
Right.
I'm not driving for no shit I think is okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, he going to have to tell me this ain't great.
Yeah.
This is great. And then he broke down why it wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's the missing piece. And he was just like, he was like, this song he's talking about selling drugs, and this song he's talking about a mission to influence people's lives. Who is he?
Who is he?
And I was like, why can't he be both? And he was like, he can be, but he has to establish one first.
Right.
So who is he?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Now I went back to Atlanta, made a demo. A couple months later, got a deal, changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
But if I send an MP3 and he responds by email, Makiba, I don't know, but it means as much.
Yeah, right.
It was the fact that I had to get up, I had to drive, I had the time to pause, and that made it worthwhile. So when you speak about that, I'm like, I know it might sound hard for someone who's living it right now.
Yeah.
But this shit is incredible.
It is hard.
If you stay with it.
But it's worth it.
It's so worth it. It's hard,
but it is worth it. I mean, even for me, back in those days, I don't do it as much now, but I would go to the A&R's office like, hey, really, can you listen to my demo? Can you listen to my songs? Okay, leave it in the box. Okay, leave it with my assistant.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember going to go see an executive one time, and I sat in the lobby of Bad Boy Records. I was still in college. I was trying to get an internship there.
Mm.
I sat there. Shout out to Mita Lacock, because she was trying to get me this internship. Sat there for 8 hours.
I could believe it.
Waiting for the president to come into the label. 8 hours. Harv.
Yeah.
When Harv came in,
mm-hmm.
he came in, he talked to the staff for a minute. I'm sitting out there, I'm looking back like, what's she looking at me like, so then I see her walking out to the front. I'm like, okay, I'm getting ready to meet with Harv PA. I'm getting ready to get this internship. And she said, I'm sorry, they filled the position already. And so I had been there for 8 hours, right? Because I was like, if I get this internship, I know what I'm going to do with this. I'm not going to go back to school. I'm not going to finish my senior year. I'm going to just stay in New York and I'm going to just grind it out.
Exactly.
And so she was like, they filled the position.
Mm.
I was devastated. I was heartbroken. I was walking up 52nd Street like, it's okay though. Yep. It's okay. Because I'm going to get with them one day. I'm going to get with them. And I went back to school. And strangely enough, I did not finish my senior year because I got an internship at Epic with the then president, Polly Anthony.
Mm.
And she said, if you can come to New York City, you could work right under me. And I'll introduce you to people. And so I went to the head of the music business department at Berkeley. I said, I got to go. I have to go.
Is this before?
This is before.
The record.
Before the record. Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
I started interning at like 17 years old in the record company. And so he said, I see how passionate you are about this. This was before scanning and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You can fax your exams back.
Yeah.
Mm. If you can get me your exams back, I'll let you graduate. And I went to New York. I did that internship and I graduated.
Where did you get all this courage from? Like, I don't meet too many young black girls
That's a good
who
question.
Are that confident at that age
Yeah.
And that discipline, because there was discipline that was needed to be you. You like you could have easily been like, I'm going to go get do what other girls is doing. Go get some money there. You was like, nope, this is what I was meant to do. And if that means eating tuna fish and having $3 in my pocket, I'm going to do it. Where did you get that from?
I mean, I'm from Baltimore, like the home of The Wire. I don't know if y'all are familiar with The Wire.
He ain't never watched it.
No,
I watched.
Okay, cool. After
Trey came through, Poop and The Wire is my nigga. He came to the show.
Yeah, I watched it. That's my hometown. I grew up in the '90s, you know, and it was a tough time.
Yeah.
In Baltimore, and even tougher the family that I came from, and so I think that. My mother always told me that you have to want it. Mm. You have to want to leave this environment. I can't want it for you. I can't go to school for you. I can't show up to choir rehearsal and performance rehearsals. Mm. You have to want it.
Yeah.
And you have to want it more than anybody else, more than anything else. Mm. You got to outwork everybody. And I think that just stuck with me.
Yeah.
It really did.
Shout out to your mom.
That's
amazing. I love that type of shit. Because we don't have enough of that in our community.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough. We don't have enough lineage within our community of being successful to understand that we are, even though we're living in the same time with our other racial peers, they had hundreds of years of a head start.
Yes.
So our parents didn't. So to hear a black parent support their black child on their dream in that era, now it might feel a little easier because you have all these kids that's twitching. It's a lot of ways, but that time, your
but
mother's
in that era,
she was a maverick. Yeah. That was some different shit.
And she, you know, she was a hard worker. She was a nurse. Again, like I said, I don't come from like a wealthy family that could put me in, you know, all of these different things. But she made sure I went to my piano lesson. She made sure I went to school for performing arts. And then when I was time to graduate high school, I had two choices. It was either Berkeley. Or I was gonna go and sing opera at Juilliard because I was classically
trained. She said Berkeley at Juilliard.
Yeah. Classically trained with that.
Those are not the terms that said black households that are.
Right, exactly. But I really wanted to, I was a big, huge Jodeci fan, huge Mary J. Blige fan, huge Father MC, SWV. Mm. So I wanted to do that kind of music.
Yes.
So yeah, I think the courage really comes from just the jungles of Baltimore City. And then when I left Baltimore, Brooklyn was another jungle. Yeah. But I was used to it. So I felt like I was in my habitat.
It's almost like it was like it felt like your home, but there was an opportunity for your dream there.
Right, exactly. There was resources.
There was no resources,
you know. And I grew up in an era when Frank Ski was on the radio in Baltimore, right? And now he's here in Atlanta. Yeah. So when I hear him on the radio, it's like, wow, I remember those days.
If you can go back and tell that 20-year-old Makibo something right now, would you want to tell her anything? You, like her saying, this is me, I'm you in 20 years.
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting question because there were a lot of things that happened on my come up that I would say, dang, I wish I could do that over again. I wish I didn't have to go through that. I wish I didn't have to experience that. But then when I think about it, would I be me today if I didn't?
Yeah.
So
that's what I was asking.
You know, I don't want to go back and tell her, look, don't do that. Don't do this. Go through that so that as time goes on, you can develop into this woman that I am today. And I got to give my own self flowers because I'm proud of what I've become.
Has there been a record that you wrote that you heard after you wrote it, you said, that's a number one record?
When you say a record that I wrote, meaning like a demo before it got placed? I don't think so. Because I don't write from that perspective.
Mm.
I don't write. I've never been able to call it and say, oh, I can say this is a dope record. Oh, man, that moved my heart. Or, oh, the whole studio is up dancing. Like when we did when we did Get Me Body with Sean Garrett and Swiss Beats. Yes, that the whole studio was on fire.
Mm.
But I never like to think about the charts.
What's your sign?
When I'm writing, I'm a Scorpio.
Let's go.
I'm a Scorpio.
Let's go. Let's go. Listen, we are great. I don't know why you're
Yeah, it's greatness.
Are intelligent as fuck.
Yes, we
and
are.
And driven.
Yes, we
That's
are.
That's what you start. I'm listening, I'm like, and do you have siblings?
I do have a sibling. I do have a brother. Yes.
Is he older or younger?
He's older.
Much older?
About 6 years older.
Because I was going to say, because the two most important things when you meet a person to me are the birth order.
Yeah.
Because that tells you their position in the house.
Okay, let me stop you right there. So let's really get into it. Because when people watch this and up-and-coming writers and songwriters and people from all walks of life, I think it's important to know that it doesn't matter what your upbringing was, what your circumstances were, right? It's something inside of you. So when I talk about my mother, I'm talking about my grandmother, my father's mother who raised me, right? So I never knew my mother, right? My father was young in the streets when I was born, still like, you know, getting it in the streets. So, you know, a lot of people, and I wasn't raised with my brother. I didn't meet my brother until I was 16.
That's, you, can I tell you why I asked you that?
Yeah.
I asked you that because you either was the only child or you was the oldest.
Yeah.
Because that's a confidence of, like, it's almost like it's just me.
Yeah, it was just me.
All I got is me.
So it was
got,
just me.
That's why I was asking you that.
So it was me and my grandmother. And we was in the hood in Baltimore. At that time, I didn't know it was the hood because
it was just home.
It was home. Right. That's all I knew. And I love to be outside on the stoop. Yeah. I love to, you know, I love that element. But, you know, as I got older and I realized that my situation was different than other people. Like, my mother and father wasn't up at the school when I graduated. My grandmother would come up, you know, but it was just us. So
I just want to ask you a question, be on mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Why, your mother, like, why is it that you wasn't raised with her? You still don't know it to this day?
Yeah, I know it. I know why.
Okay.
She was also in the streets, right? You got to remember the 80s and 90s in Baltimore City.
We got hit with drugs and everything fucked us up.
Every neighborhood got hit with it.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's crazy to me now when I meet a lot of women my age.
Yeah.
My next door neighbor, we started talking one day and she was saying, yeah, you know, we like around the same age. My grandmother and that's my mother. And I'm like, you too?
Yeah.
So I realized that during that time frame, the 80s, 90s, maybe the 70s, a lot of kids were being raised by their grandmothers, being raised by their aunts, being raised by, and I was one of those kids.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the confidence comes from that.
I was about to say, because a lot of us, like, we like to think that we came from nowhere. And I had to learn this because I did a lot of therapy.
Yeah.
But I'm listening to you, and I'm like, she's stronger than most. It's something to the story. Because not only it's a difference between, because some people could be strong, but it comes off weak.
Mm.
It doesn't even come off like it hit you.
No, this is an authentic strength because, you know, when you come up in that environment and you see your father in the streets and you walk past that every day and you still got to go to school and you still have to show up, like you said, you still got to show up smiling and I still want to make my grandmother proud and I'm going to get her out the hood and I don't know, I never met my mother, I don't know where she is. It's like you develop a different kind of skin.
Yeah.
You know? It's no room for weakness in that, especially when you have such a goal.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know how I was going to get there.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, I'm going to write for these artists one day. We had Video Jukebox. I don't know if y'all remember that when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And so I would see Mary J. Blige. I would see Father MC. I would see all these artists. And I say, I'm going to do what they doing one day. You know, so that's lofty. Where you come from there, that's lofty.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to get there? How is that going to happen?
I remember,
I'm going to tell y'all a quick story.
Tell us.
Kenny G Love Green, right? Man. I don't know if y'all know who he is. He was the lead singer.
Intro.
The Boogie Down. Let me tell you something. I was 14 years old, right? Reading credits, sneaking on the Greyhound bus up to Harlem, up to New York. But I would be reading the credits and see who wrote what, who's the producer on this, who's the vocal arranger on this. So I discovered Kenny G Love Green, became a huge fan, like, oh my gosh, he is doing what I'm gonna do one day. Just so happened, we was at a family reunion in Virginia. I see him walk through the hotel. I'm 14 years old, I'm like, is that Kenny? I'm telling my cousin. Exactly. Yo, that's the guy that wrote Love No Limit for Mary J. Blige. I'm going to go knock on his.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. As a matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Door. She says, you bugging. You out of your 14. Mind. I'm 14.
Incredible.
I said, I'm going to go knock on his door. I'm going to find out what he's saying. I'm going to knock on his door. I went and knocked on his door. He opens the door. I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. I was looking for my aunt's room. But are you Kenny Green? And he was like, actually, I am. I said, I just want to shake your hand. I just want a little bit of that inspiration. He shook my hand. Close the door, and that made my life.
Wow.
Period.
I know how that feels.
You know?
It's like you touched it.
I touched it. I touched the greatness. You can't tell me. Now you can't tell me. I ain't got that fire in my pen because I didn't touch the hand of greatness right there. So I was always bold and confident like that.
You feel like a motivational speaker to me. Like, why? Like, I feel like you need to be talking more. Like,
I probably should. Other people have told me that before.
I'm getting goosebumps listening to you talk. I swear, because I'm like, you can see flaws in people.
Yeah,
I'm a manager first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at you, and I'm like, you're a dream talent, because all you want for talent is for them to believe in themselves.
That's
when talent be signing these dumb deals.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign the deal for $100,000 and you know it's not the best deal for you, you only doing it because you think you're never going to get $100,000 again.
Right.
And you're like, I might not ever have a check. But if you believe in yourself, you like, I get that shit another day.
And I think I'm glad you hit on that. That is why I created the Young Dreamers Agency, my consultancy agency. Sure. It's not only just to help young dreamers facilitate their dreams and becoming better songwriters and learning how to record in the studio, but really to believe in what you have.
Yeah.
You know, because it starts there. I've seen plenty of artists that are mediocre, but because they believe it,
they went up there.
The whole world believes it.
They carry it like that.
Yep. Yeah, so I think that's important that you hit on that, because when you believe it, it's nothing you can't do. You know?
And you have to believe it, because you're basically on a journey to something at the end that might not be there. So what continues on a journey outside of you telling yourself, that's for me?
Yeah.
I wish that was my story. Like, I'm here because I just didn't have nowhere to go. And I was like, damn, if I go back, they're going to laugh at me. So I might as well stay here, because they don't even know me here. So I get a chance to kind of rebuild myself the way I want it. Almost like I created the winner in my head first, had to act like the winner, and then I started winning. But it was almost like, nigga, you ain't got no choice. You better do it. It wasn't in me.
Yeah.
Like, it's in you. That's why I'm like, that's amazing. Your grandmother, your family deserve all the credit, because that's amazing.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, you're like one of the rare... There aren't too many people who I would let mentor my kids. That's because my only thing keeping me alive is I'm like, nobody gonna tell my kids what life is about.
But
hearing you, I'm like, she would be a great mentor, because if you had something program, I would put my kids in it right now. because whatever that was that you experienced, that needs to be put back. We need that. We need to duplicate that.
Yeah.
And give it to people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in underserved areas, right?
Yes.
Especially in areas where you have kids like me.
Yeah.
Right? When you come from that type of environment, a lot of people can just say, well, this is what it is for me, and yeah. this is where I'm supposed to be. Ah, yeah, I see that music video. I can never do that. But I'm here to tell you that you can.
Period.
You know? Period. I'm a living witness. I am proof of the concept. Mm. And I really think that I just started understanding that and realizing that. Mm. It wasn't until recently that I started thinking this way, right? Mm. When you've experienced and had the success that I've had, the mountaintop experiences that I've had, sometimes you can think, well, that's it. It's nothing more. What more can I do?
Yeah.
Until you find an artist that's like you, or you find a songwriter that's like you, and you can pour all of that into them yeah. and help their wings to grow. You know?
Is there anything that we can do here to help you with your creative agency? Like, I don't even know what it is, but I just want to help you amplify you.
Wow. That means a lot. Thank you.
That's awesome.
That is
I'm serious.
Awesome.
I don't care. I mean, even if I'm coming to the studio, I don't care. Like, I just want to help you on your mission because I see the purity in it.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like we need more of that in our world because, you know, as you come up, you run into the snakes. We all do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's so rare. Like, you said about 3 or 4 names, but you probably met 1,000.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm trying to say?
So many people that I could name on my journey that helped me,
yeah.
that didn't have to help me,
yeah.
that not only helped me, but that watched my back,
mm-hmm.
right? When you in the jungle.
As a woman.
As a woman.
That's very important.
As a woman.
Because you know how it is. If you send, like Deja knows, if you send a writer out there, it's like, yo, they with me.
Yeah.
Don't try that shit.
Right. Don't even try it.
I'm on your ass if you fuck with
yep.
them.
Yep.
And you need those for women because some men will be like, oh, this me. No,
right.
nigga, that's
exactly.
not. She is not here for that. She is here to do her job.
Right.
Respect that.
And I would, it's so many people I could name. I mean, shout out to Max Goose. Shout out to Mark Spark in New York. Shout out to Sir Fred Mitchell. Shout out to my forever manager, Jay Brown at Rock Nation. Shout out to Tata, my forever manager
yep.
at Rock Nation. Shout out to Big J. Shout out to Big John. Shout out to Sean Tubby Holiday. So many of those guys, my brothers, that like helped me down.
Yeah. That's
help amazing. Me down. Yeah.
I just gotta ask you this. You mean to tell me when you're making Live Your Life, you're not cashing the check in your pocket, in your brain already. Like, that is the most, to me, that is one of the most undeniable hit records of all time. And the hook wrote it. The hook drove it. That's why I'm like, that's why I'm like, you mean to tell me when you was writing Live Your Life that you didn't think to yourself, I'm about to go buy a bigger house?
No. Actually, let me tell you how that record came
about.
Please. So Just Blaze did the track and yep. started the hook. Mike Caron called me at Atlantic.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. he said, we got this record. This is about to be the biggest record of T.I.'s career.
Yeah.
We need to make it more pop and mainstream. So he called me and Jay Brown, and Jay Brown was like, we're going to put Rihanna on it. Can you write something for Rihanna to make it more like pop, you know, because mm-hmm. it's a classic anyway.
Yes.
And so I was like, yeah, I just got back to New York. I was in London with the Black Eyed Peas. I just got back to New York. Let me get to L.A. tomorrow, and I'll go in the studio. I'll demo it. I'll write it, and I'll give it to y'all. And so he was like, okay, we got a little problem here. The problem is I know that you just landed in New York from London, but Rihanna has a show in Milan, and T.I.'s album is going to master on Wednesday. Or Tuesday or something like that. So we only have like 48 hours to get this done.
Yes.
And so I was like, well, I'm exhausted. I'm like delirious from all this international traveling. I will meet y'all in L.A. when yeah. I get this. I went to L.A., landed in L.A., dropped my bags off at home, and Jay Brown called, like, the car will be downstairs to come get you. You got to go to Milan.
You just put your bag in.
I ain't even unpack.
Damn.
You got to go back to mm-hmm. Milan, and I need you
Milan,
to write.
Milan, Italy.
Italy. Mm-hmm. 15-hour, 16-hour
right
flight.
Oh, wow.
Right back after I just flown like 10 hours from London.
Well, 10 hours from London and then another 6 from
right,
New York.
Right, from New
to,
York,
to
right.
LA, yeah.
So now I'm like going back in time, mm-hmm. right? Going back to... So I was like, oh my goodness, you cannot be serious right now. And I was kind of like putting my foot down, like yeah. I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And he was like, look, Mike Caron said this about to be another number one, and you're going to be mad if you don't get on this record. Yeah. You're going to be mad if you don't get on this plane. Like, this is sounding this is like it. The demo is sounding like. So I was like, so when am I going to write what I need to write? So write it on a plane. You got 16 hours.
Write it on a plane.
You got 16 hours. Go. And so and so that I did. We had a layover in Munich, Germany. I was flying by myself. I got to Munich. I was so delirious because flying back and forth in the time zone. I don't know what time it is. I don't know where I am. The airport in Munich is empty. Nobody, you don't see a soul, right? And so I see this guy come walking up towards me this way. And I'm like, is that a black person in Munich, Germany? Like, and so I'm like, dang, I see another one of us. And so as he got closer, I realized it was Rihanna's manager at the time, Mark Jordan. Shout out to Mark Jordan. And he, I kind of like fell in his arms because I was so delirious. And we flew from Munich to Milan and we got the record done. And Mike Caron called me and said, y'all got a smash. This is a smash. This is going to be, oh my goodness, you don't even know what this is going to be. And then from there, I went back to London to go see the head of Sony Publishing in London, Guy Moot, because he heard about the record. I need to see this person that got this record. I need to meet her. And so I went to London, and Atlantic gave me a few days to just go shop and just rest. And because it was, I came through in the clutch for them. So Mike Caron, Craig Coleman, shout out to those guys.
But when you wrote it, you didn't think it was special?
What I wrote and what I was talking about was basically me thinking about what we were going to do when I got to London. Got everybody watching what I do. You know, like, I'm going to get to London, and all eyes are going to be on Rihanna when she hit that stage. We got the whole team with us. They're going to shut them all down. Just all of these things that I was thinking, like, okay, this is what's going to happen when I get there. And, you know, to the clock stop, I'm going to keep going. I'm tired, I'm delirious, but I'm going to keep writing these hits. And so those were the lyrics that I had when I got there to see
her.
That's
amazing.
And that's what she sang.
I told you I was going to tell you something on camera.
Okay.
I say this. I think Tamar Love and War is the best R&B song of the last 15 years. I also say, this is what everybody gets pissed off at me about. I personally don't think Toni Braxton has a better song than Love and War. And by the way, I love Tony.
In a career?
Name one.
It's not a lot of artists. It's not a lot of artists that have a better song than Love and War.
That song is incredible.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
That song is a first time listen. I wrote about it in my book.
Wow.
Because I remember when it dropped. Yeah. I'm not a Tamar Braxton fan. Yeah. I don't listen to Tamar.
Yeah.
When it dropped, every room I went into, I saw black girls like, have you heard Tamar's new single? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
What is it? It was like, it's about Love and War. You got to hear it. And I heard it, and I was like,
man.
Like, it's instant. I don't think there's a better record. To me, it's like the only other record I could put in the same category in the last 20 years is probably John Legend, Ordinary People. Because those records broke format.
Yeah.
Like, those records broke in the world of, like, rap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And came with not just vocals, but like real, like a ballad.
Yeah.
And they made us stop for 4 minutes to listen. Yeah. And we loved it. it was on two new artists. Mm-hmm. You always think about that. Like, it's hard.
And that song broke her career.
It did.
They had been trying to get a single for her for years. And God gave us that song. It's just so crazy how that went down. So Love and War, the title, because I always keep a running list of titles, song titles in my phone. Yep. I may see something on a billboard, or I may be reading something. Oh, I like that title. That's a song.
Yeah.
And so I had walked around with that title for like 3 years in my phone. And so one of my best friends, LaShawn, rest in peace, LaShawn Daniels.
Shout out to LaShawn. Shout out to April Daniels. His last name is Daniels. When I met him, he was like, you know, by the time I met him, he was a giant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said, your last name Daniels, tell everybody you my cousin.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he was.
I'm going to tell everybody you my cousin because we got the same last name. If you got any problems, you let me know.
Yeah.
Love LaShawn. But finish the story.
So we got in the studio, and the thing about me and LaShawn, when we would get in the studio, we would rarely get any work done. Because if you know LaShawn, he was a comedian.
He's a comedian.
Like, we'll be on the floor. It's like being in the studio with Tank. He's a comedian. So we would rarely, really even get any songs done. But we came in the studio that day. Vince said they needed a record for Tamar. We wrote two records that day. One was...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The up-tempo called Hot Sugar
that
I loved that was also on the Love and War album.
Okay.
And we wrote Love and War. And we were just talking about relationships and, you know, marriages and the ups and downs and how we compare love to a war, right? And so we wrote it. I demoed it. And Vince came in and he heard it one time. He called Greg Walker, the radio programmer, to come down and hear it. Mm-hmm. He heard it. He was like, smash Ola.
Yep.
This is the one. This is it. Because she had been cutting and recording a bunch of songs. Then he called my boy Garnett March from Interscope.
Shout out to Garnett.
Legend. That's my boy.
Music legend.
He called Garnett. Garnett came down, smash Ola. We done. We running with this. And again, because I never like to think about what's going to happen on the charts, I'm like, okay, great. She sounds amazing on it. LaShawn cut her vocals on it. And I was in Baltimore visiting family the day that it came out. And I'm in Target. I'm shopping. I'm not even thinking nothing. I kid you not, I got like 20 voice messages on my phone. Makiba, this Love and War song, you did that one, right? You co-wrote that one, right? Oh, my God. Like, I had all these messages from people everywhere. Like, oh, this is like stopping radio right now.
Yeah.
So.
And by the way, it's that. And I think that. I think that sometimes we're so hung up on what we see as great or not great that when you hear that against her sister, you're like, her sister had Unbreak My Heart. Yeah, that's a great song. But Unbreak My Heart didn't have no soul. It wasn't a pop. It was a pop ballad.
Mm-hmm.
Love and War was
R&B ballad.
Yes. Smash.
And I don't even like writing ballads, honestly. That's not my thing.
I hate ballads. Like, I
love up-tempo records, but something about the way that melody came together and the way she sang it with so much passion, it was magical.
The vocal performance, everything, but I just wanted to say, so y'all, I don't need her to agree.
Five Grammy nominations on that one.
I got a question.
Do you think Tony has a better song?
Not that I
can. Nah.
Like, and
I may have a favorite,
shit,
but not better.
Yeah. Like, better.
No, nah, yeah, thank that, you. Yeah,
that's I have a favorite, but not better. I'm a little bit biased, though.
Why?
That sister right there.
Oh, I thought you knew Tony. I already said that. What you about to tell him that we didn't know? I dated Tamar back in 87. You know, like,
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Because I guess I've had the privilege of seeing you work.
From the very beginning.
Right.
Before the first hit, ever.
And still write songs in like 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for the up-and-coming songwriters and stuff out there, like, can you tell us a little bit about, like, your process in doing that? Because you have to be superb to be able to just, like, write a song in 10 minutes. And I've seen you write and record a song in 10 minutes.
You know what? It's interesting. The music actually tells me what to say, right? Mm. So I know it sounds weird, but it's like if I'm moved by the music, I don't write it. It's already there.
Mm.
I just sing it. Mm. I just might jot it down on my computer so I can see what the words are on paper. But the music tells me what to say. Love and War. The music spoke to me, you know. When I heard the track for Won't He Do It, Corinne Hawthorne, the music spoke to me.
Mm.
And I just was like, okay, this is what it is, you know. So I think these songs come about many different ways. But when I'm writing by myself, That's what it is. You know, when I'm collaborating with others, then yes, we got to get together and you consider my ideas and I consider your ideas and we put it down. But the most basic form of process for me is to really, really dial into the music and what is it saying? And what do I want to say? And how do I want to say it so that, you know, it affects people? And what I realized recently, and I'm saying recently, like in the last 2 years, is like, okay, I write these songs and I go and I sing this demo and I love it. My engineer may love it. But for millions of people around the world to love it and to do that 16 times, this is not me.
Yeah.
This is not me. This is coming from heaven.
Right.
You know?
You're honoring your gift.
I'm honoring my gift. That's God who gave me the gift.
All we have to do as humans is honor our gift, but most of us try to finesse our gift.
Yeah.
Like, I can sing, but, you know, like, dog, honor it. Like, if you really honor it, it will pay you back forever.
Yeah,
because it's a gift from God. It's like, here's your gift.
Here's your gift.
Now, do right by it.
That's
And if you do right by it, well, you're going to be straight for the rest of your life. But you got to do right by it.
Yeah.
And you haven't turned any corners. You should actually, like, I would, like, you should put out an album of female songs from female songwriters. Like, I would, if you told me right now, after you said all this stuff.
I want to do it.
By the way, I got an album. I would want to hear that just because I would want to hear. To me, the future is curation. I want to see you as a curator.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see you as a curator of culture, of talent. Like, I would actually buy from your school. If somebody told me they went to your school, I would buy from that school.
Yeah.
If you curated it. And that's me being natural. That's why I'm like, it would be fire if you just had, just put out Makeba Riddick Presents. Females, emotion, whatever it is. And, like, just let these female songwriters. Like, by the way, I can probably
let's get, do it. Let's partner. TYDCA, let's do it.
I could probably get some money to do it, too.
Yeah.
Like, I get some money to do it, too. But I just feel like right now we need curators to put spotlights on other talent.
Yeah.
And right now money is putting spotlight on talent.
Yeah.
And money doesn't have no emotions. It doesn't care if it's great or bad as long as it's making money. But we need curators.
Right.
Picking talent, grooming talent. Almost like blessing talent with the information that they need to go on to their yellow brick road.
Right.
And to me, you just seem like you'll be incredible at that.
I got another question for you. You know, there's like a lot of talk about R&B and its resurgence and emergence and things like that. But I want to ask you this. What do you think about the current state of songwriting?
Good question.
The current state of songwriting. Well, I mean, I would have to separate that question from R&B.
Okay.
Right? Because I'm a lover of all music. I listen to country. I listen to dance. I listen to a lot of CCM. I listen to gospel. I listen to R&B. So it's still great songs being written. You know, it's still great songs. Even in a climate in R&B where it's not a whole lot of great artists, it's still great songs being written. So those artists that are shining, like to me, I love Summer Walker. I think she's fire. I just discovered this new R&B artist named India Sean yesterday.
India's been around. I love India. Yeah, she's been around.
Okay.
Yeah, she did demos for us back in the day. Yes.
I just discovered a record that
Good
she did.
India.
I think she's fire. Yeah. I loved it. Sebastian Michael. Mm-hmm. I know he's been around for a long time.
Is.
Incredible. I mean, so I think as long as we still have people that love to do it, then we're gonna be fine. We just need more artists. We need more great artists with integrity that really know who they are as an artist. And I say this to people all the time. The problem is with a lot of artists and a lot of labels, and I've heard you talk about this as well, Ray, is that we're signing TikTok artists, right?
Yep.
And because somebody can dance and they can make content does not mean they can go on the road and move people's hearts on the stage, right? And so I came up in an era with great artists, Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston. I'm going to keep saying Mary J. Blige because she's my goat. She is like the greatest to
Incredible.
Me.
Incredible.
You know, artists that could rock a stage, that could sing a song to move your heart. Toni Braxton. We don't have enough of that.
I agree.
It's too many like microwavable, oh, you can dance, you can make content. Okay, we're going to sign you.
And that's because talent is not at the forefront of curating.
Yes.
Right.
You have other people saying, and don't get me wrong, there is an industry for making money. Like, I'm not mad at that. But we have to separate them from the real artists.
Right.
Like, it's like
Kim Kardashian is celebrated in this world, but she's celebrated. Like, she's a billionaire, she's celebrated. But my point is that even though she probably has more money than Jennifer Aniston, we still know Jennifer Aniston is a GOAT. Kim made her shit work. It's no disrespect. It's just we understand that one was a personality that people couldn't keep their eyes off, and the other one was really talented.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they did that. And one is an actor. And one, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So with music, it's like, it would be so different if artists just, if people was like, yo, I'm not an artist, I just put out music. That's, now you
and
just.
And let's make the separation of that.
Yes.
So that the great artists that come through, they can really have a chance to shine and really have a chance to move the world the way the great artists used to.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, when I was a teenager, I saw Ricky Martin, he performed on the Grammys one time.
Changed his
shut
life.
Shut it down.
Living La Vida Loca.
Changed his life.
Changed the Latin explosion.
Right. Put him on the map. I'm a little girl in Baltimore City, like, oh, who is that? I wanna hear that again. You know, and I just feel like we don't have enough, they're not letting enough real artists through.
Because of money. Real artists have a process. And talent is like, just give me a song. Like, my last label job, I hated it. We never talked about music. We only talked about deadline.
Yeah.
Right. Ray, I need an album by July 1st. Can you give me 8 songs by July 1st? And it's like, what if it's not good?
Right. What if it's not good?
What if he's not in the mind state to make it? They don't care. So for me, it was like, this ain't about music no more. This is about meeting deadlines and making money. I get it. That's just not why I got into it.
But let me ask you this. If it's about making money, mm-hmm. then why are they not signing more artists that can go on a stage and rock a show and do a tour? Because when you can't really sing and you can dance a little bit, can you sell out the Staples Center?
You don't even have a story connected to selling.
Don't even have a story.
Yeah, like in your mind, you're like, I just did that. Like when you talk, like, I'm 6 years old, I was playing the piano, and that, like, damn, like, that is a story.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Juilliard.
That people can connect with.
Yes. And it's like, it's, but it also says, I was born with this and I honored it and that's why I'm here. I didn't wake up at 19 and see my best friend put a song out and said, I'm going to put a song out now.
Right.
See if it worked for him.
And that's what's happening.
And he's terrible.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to put my own song out and see.
I'm going to be equally as terrible, but. Yep. I'm gonna get on.
I'm gonna measure myself towards the lowest person on the totem pole. I remember when my cousin told me he rapped. He was like 27. I was like, you about to start rapping? And I was like, are you good? He was like, I'm better than Soulja Boy. I'm like, you gonna go, so you're better than the person that you think is the worst. What about at the time? He's not bad. You might think he's bad. He's actually doing what he's doing for you. Yeah. Like, he's a genius. Right. Like, you don't know
and
he's
you
a genius.
And you tapped into it. Yes. And it made you say, I'm going to do that, but I can do it a little bit better.
You know how great, you know how you could tell it? If you do something and people saying, I think I could do that. I just made it look easy. That's all. Yeah. You think you could do it because you didn't know I was doing it for 20 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just made it look easy.
Right.
Unless I was born playing piano like you at 6, then it's like, God gave me this. I can't help it.
He gave me that.
So you wanted to get into the game because I wanted to ask.
Go ahead. I'm trying to prepare that now.
He's so excited. Like,
about this game.
By the way, he's on his phone because usually he'd be sitting right there sending me options. I'd be like, no, yes, but I don't have them. So he's putting it together himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, my thing, I just wanted to just give you your credit. I'm giving you credit.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are a black woman, and women in general are told they can't have it all. They don't tell men to choose. They don't tell men to choose a wife and a career.
Right.
They tell men you can have it all, but they tell women you can't.
Right.
You actually do.
I actually do.
You have the career, you have the family, you have the husband, and you have the nice Louis Vuitton shoes on. Life's really good right now. Life's really
Shout
good
out
right
to
now.
Billboard.
Like, was that a plan? Like, what I'm asking is like, were you on a 20-year plan that Makeba knew, or was it just you showed up every day as the best Makeba and you let it, whatever happened, you received it?
Yeah. I did not have a plan.
Mm.
I just was really on like a roller coaster of hit records and traveling around the world and being able to do for my family, being able to fly my mom to other countries. Mm-hmm. And But in that, you know, you kind of lose track of time, mm-hmm. right? And so I was getting older, and not that I even thought about, well, I'm getting older. I need to, you know, because I really wasn't even thinking about having kids. Yeah. My songs were my kids, yeah. you know? Mm. But God just had other plans, and I reconnected with one of my friends from high school, and
those are the best ones.
And you know, we were having fun and having a good time, and I was not thinking about getting married yeah. and having kids. It just kind of happened, and, yeah. and it was more like I want to be the best Makeba that I can be. In fact, I was a little worried about having kids because I was like, can I still be Makeba? Yeah. Can I still travel? Is my brain going to be the same? Can I still write the same way? Can I still go and talk to people and be confident knowing that I have somebody else that I'm responsible for? And then, you know, am I even a mother?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have my...
You have that instinct, yeah.
Yeah. So I had my baby and I didn't miss a beat. She was in the studio with me, and yeah. My first baby, she would come fly with me, and yeah. we would all go, and I had to go and travel. And did she change me? Maybe not, but again, like I said in the beginning, I've always been this person, but she was just asleep.
Yeah,
the nurturer, the mother.
Yeah,
you know, she was getting her rest at that time.
And you probably an awesome mother because you didn't grow up without. So you probably like, no, I'm a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was even feeling like, well, do I have that mother piece?
Yeah.
Because I grew up without my mother. So is that going to be me too? But
yeah.
when I had my baby, it was like, wow, the yeah. greatest feeling of love and the greatest feeling like now I can give this to somebody yeah. else, you know? And so now that times three. So Mama Makeba is fully woke.
Exactly.
Right now.
Still making number ones
and still grinding and still just loving what I do. Mm. And I think that's what it is with women, is that we have to remember that we can do it all.
Yeah.
We can have it all. It's about what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I wanted to still be on the top of the charts, still find new artists,
yeah.
you know, nurture new artists and create my company along with being a mother,
yeah.
along with being a wife. I want to do it all. I'm capable of all yeah, of it.
For sure.
So.
And why the fuck not?
Why not?
Why can't I?
Like, why not?
If I can make time for it, why shouldn't I be able to achieve it?
We all have the same 24 hours mm-hmm. in a day. Fact. And I think to myself sometimes, like, I still got time left. Okay, it's the end of the day. The kids are in the bed. I finished writing my songs. Okay, now let me go to my emails. Let me reach out to this A&R. Let me reach out to this person. Let me set up this webinar. Let me shout out to Deja Wrote It, my girl over there.
Let's clap for this young lady.
Who keeps my head on my shoulders with TYDCA.
Look, I'll tell you why. Let me give Deja her credit. We don't do flowers around here. We give credit.
Mm.
Let me give you your credit. The fact that you are a writer, the fact that you know me, and you still, every time we talked about this show, you could have easily said, Ray, when can I do it? Every time you talked to me, you was like, I want to get Makeba. We was in L.A. Like, we in L.A. I'm like at the bar. I'm just, Ray, Makeba. I'm like, she like was so on it. And I just want to give you credit for that, because people think they have to shine a light on themselves. But it's power in being a light shiner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And people want to shine it back to you.
Yeah.
Because you really, like, you made this happen. Jack did too, but you drove it.
Definitely.
Every day. And you could have easily drove it for yourself. And to me, that says a lot about who you are as a person. So credit to yes. you for sure. I want
to
give you that.
Shout out to Deja. She's also from Baltimore too.
You so are?
Yeah, I got a Baltimore.
Y'all say two.
We are okay. Y'all not, soul sisters.
You need to somehow, have you ever met Pinky?
I have not. I know she's who she is, Baltimore though. She's from Baltimore.
Vegan.
Yeah, with Slutty Vegan.
You and her, y'all need to get together and do something.
Yeah, we need to do something, yeah.
I'm going to connect you with her people.
Yeah, we should.
You give me her energy, like the music version.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Like,
she was a producer.
Okay.
She was a producer, like a TV producer.
Okay, mm-hmm.
So
okay.
She just, all she did was produce her restaurant.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How you, like she just, and it's incredible. You yeah. got to connect with her.
Okay, yeah. We
like, Baltimore is strong out here.
Yeah.
Mario from Baltimore.
Jada Pinkett's from Baltimore. Tupac and Jada went to my high school, so.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And y'all say, y'all say two. What? Me too.
They say too. I don't have my Baltimore accent anymore, but
did you say too?
Tennis.
Yeah, yeah, tennis.
I remember that.
Oh, is this episode of Wire where he says to the girl, he touched the Snoop's character. He's like, "Yo, man, like," what the? She was like, "You laughing?" He was like, "Yeah, I'm laughing at the detective." She was like, "What you laughing at?" He said, "I'm thinking about some pussy." She said, "Me too." I was like, "Boy, that goddamn accent is so strong."
So that's Baltimore. Speaking of doing it all, it's not too many songwriters that write in multiple genres, and I'm not talking two.
Mm. Come on now, talk about
Let's
it.
Let's go, Rick.
You've R&B, hip hop, pop, Latin, gospel,
dance.
I can dance.
That is very, very impressive. Very, very impressive. Let alone just to do one genre, but six.
Yeah.
And I may be missing some, but let's touch on that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, when I was growing up, I listened to all different types of music. Like I said, I love Jodeci, I love SWV, but I also loved Hall & Oates. I also love Tears for Fears.
Me too.
You know, I was a big 80s rock head, you know. Smokey Robinson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just listened to it all, you know, and I just had a love for all different genres of music. So when it comes to writing, I always want to stretch myself beyond, you know, what I listen to every day.
Question.
Yeah.
Give me three artists that you want to get in the room with.
Alicia Keys.
Oh, yeah.
It's bucket
crazy.
List.
Yep.
Summer Walker.
Okay.
I love her.
I could connect you. If you ever work with her, I could connect that.
I haven't, but okay, I was talking to Donald Woodard the other day about that. Alicia Keys, Summer Walker, and for many, many years, I mean a long time, me and Chris Brown been talking about we got to get in the room. And we came this close one time, but the schedules just didn't line up. Chris Brown / maybe Katy Perry. I also love Katy Perry as well.
Yeah, yeah, she hard.
So, yeah.
So now we about to play a game.
Uh-oh.
Game called Making a Cut, where we're going to give you three options. You have to pick one to sign. By the way, their options might be companies. This is all, we're in the Makeba Enterprise.
Yes,
we have billions of dollars, and you can make every decision you want. So whatever we throw it out, you're choosing to sign these acts, these companies, everything, you're getting that. So I just want to make sure you got it. So I'm going to go first. Damn, by the way, Jack wrote him.
You gotta put that on me, right?
I gotta put it. That's why he was in his phone. This is what he was doing. Like, every time you said a name, he was like,
okay.
Oh, she likes Boys to Men? Okay. Mm. All right, I'm gonna go easy first.
Okay.
Rodney Jerkins, Swiss Beats, Rich Harrison.
Mm. Who okay, so you named three producers that I've worked with extensively. Okay.
That's why he did it. He know your history.
Okay. What is it again?
You have to sign one, develop one, cut one.
Oof.
Or you can donate $20 to the kids who are sending you pictures of them eating pizza, the Creative Academy.
Boy. Man, that's hard.
This is the easiest one, by the way. I'm gonna make it so hard.
This is the easiest one.
Oh, this is the easiest one.
You got it bad.
Oh, this is bad. Okay. These three producers, two of them I'm super duper tight with and have worked with for many, many years. One of them is almost like family, like blood family.
He's from Baltimore?
Rodney.
Mm-hmm. Rodney, okay.
Not
Rodney.
Far. He's from Jersey, so from Jersey. Right up the road. So Rodney, we keeping.
Okay.
Swiss, what we?
Developing. Or we cutting?
Developing.
Okay.
Developing. Lots of history working with Swiss. And Rich, only because I haven't worked with him as extensively, and there was a time when I was really like going at him trying to get in the studio, and he had time for me.
Yeah.
So just for the sake of this game, we're gonna cut him.
And plus, he makes the DC sound. You from Baltimore?
Right. He's from DC. Right.
That DC go-go sound.
Baltimore. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. It's going now. Like I said, that was a preliminary. It gets much harder.
Uh-oh.
All right. Cool. This should be easy for you. Depends. Boys to Men, Drew Hill, Jodeci.
Now that's a hard one.
Very hard.
That's so hard. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because I grew up with Cisco and Nokio. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they from Baltimore.
They from Baltimore. We used to work at the Fudgery together, making fudge songs.
Yeah,
I've known them since.
Making
yeah.
Them?
Yeah. We used to work at the Inner Harbor making fudge, and people would watch us make fudge, and we would sing songs. So I love those guys, Jazz and Nokio and all those guys. But Jodeci?
Nothing like it. What is it about their vocals, though?
Jodeci?
Like you, you can sing. I'm going to tell you. I want to understand it. Help
what
me.
It is.
Okay.
One factor.
Okay.
And I think, from my professional opinion, Devontae Swing, the GOAT
absolutely.
Of all GOATs. And anybody who knows me from the time I was 12 years old, they're going to tell you how I feel about Devontae and how I stalked him until I was 30 years old was when I finally met him.
You met
went
him?
Went and knocked on his
like,
door.
Like, I want to meet that nigga. Like, that, yeah. Devontae is that nigga,
yes.
bro.
Facts. Yes, I met him. I went and knocked on his door, too. Jodeci, man, we keeping them. They the greatest. They going to go down in history as probably the greatest ever. Drew Hill, of course, number two. And Boyz II Men, I don't know much about Philly. We cutting
them. Also, I want to ask you, like, was Devontae putting an effect? Because even to this day, Jodeci kind of felt like, the nicest way to say it, they felt like the dirty group. Like, yeah. their vocals did, like, Boyz II Men was, their vocals was so clean.
Very clean.
Like, perfect almost. Yeah, uh-huh. But it was like, JoJo and Devontae, JoJo
I'm gonna
and,
tell you, Jodeci.
Yes.
Choir vocals.
Yes.
That's what it was.
I'm like, why do they sound, like, why do their vocals sound like that?
It's all the notes that the choir director would give us when I was in the choir growing up. JoJo and KC were a gospel group.
Yes.
Right? They started out as a gospel group. Yep. Devontae and Dalvin, their father, is a pastor. Mm. They started out in church, right? They started out, Devontae started out on the organ. You can't tell me nothing about this man.
When he comes on the My Heart Belongs to You,
Oh my gosh.
Like, what the fuck? It was like, this nigga was like an evil genius in the room. Yeah.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Who the fuck is this?
And so when you are the writer, the producer, the vocal arranger, you mix in the records. You did something different.
Yeah.
You were just like to put all of that together and then to have those voices, JoJo and KC, and using choir vocals to make R&B songs.
How do and by the way, sexual.
Sexual, dog, sexy
nobody,
songs.
Dog, nobody can fuck with Phenan.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
Like, what sound is that? Like, what? I don't even know what sound that is. Like, and I'm like a music guy.
He was creating sounds.
Jodeci is the only group that I hear their music, and I'm like, what sound is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what instrument is that?
Yeah.
I'm like, Quincy Jones, you can hear the horns. Like, Jodeci, I'm like, it's something,
it's
by the
different.
Way, nothing like it ever.
Nothing like it ever.
Nothing
and
even
so
close to
And so we call
ever.
Those type of artists, what I call once in a generation, right?
Period.
We won't see that again. We're not like that. Drew Hill came close. But when it comes to the production and just the sound of the group as a whole, once in a generation, we're not going
to
see that again.
I just wish that as much as I've been in the room, and I've been in the room with some amazing, talented people, Jodeci is the only people who I would just have paid to watch because I'm like, what the fuck is this? Because I want it so bad again that I'm like, somebody can show me what you did.
What did they do?
So
right.
we can understand.
Try to replicate.
I think a big part of it too is vocal production, which is my second career in producing the vocals of an artist. Because a lot of times an artist can sing, but they don't know their capacity. Mm-hmm. They don't know really where their range stops. They don't really know what they can do until you show them, hey, do this. And they do it, right? And I did so much of that with all the artists that I work with. And I think Devontae produced those vocals in a way that those textures, man, it's just magic.
And he did it again when he came back with the last album in 2014 with that Every Moment. Like, I'm like, something is different about them. But I'm sorry, we're gonna harp on them. But, all right, cool. You ready? Uh-oh. Mariah Carey, Mary J. Blige, and Whitney Houston.
Man, why you do this to me? Why did you do this?
This seems like a battle between two. You know who number one is.
Oh, we
are
right.
We know number one. Mary J. Blige is goated in my mind. She is like, you know how they have the Queen of England?
Yes.
She should be wearing a crown every time we see her.
No argument for me.
So Mary, definitely. Who was number two and three?
Mariah, Whitney.
Whitney.
Number two.
Number two. number two, just because I love Mary so much. Whitney, number two. Mariah.
By the way, everything so far, we on the same. Only thing I would have kept Boyz II Men and dropped Drew Hill.
Okay.
I just couldn't take the blonde hair. Like the blonde hair.
That was part of his look, though.
For Boyz II Men?
Drew Hill for Boyz II Men? Are you serious?
Come on, tell him, Jack.
I don't know, man.
Drew Hill, classic. Nah.
Drew Hill was like, to me, Drew Hill felt like Diet Jodeci. They felt like they were making great songs, but it was kind of like they just ain't got that shit that Jodeci had to me.
But how can you duplicate that?
That's
my
point.
When you have a Jodeci, how can you duplicate that?
But the thing about this, here's the interesting part. Wasn't Nokio producing all that music?
He was.
So I'm thinking that's probably what Nokio probably was trying to channel his inner Devontae Swing, I could see. But to me...
Great producer in his own right. Mm-hmm. But it's always going to be two, right? You got Coke and Pepsi.
Yep.
You got Sprite and Mountain Dew. Everybody can't be Sprite.
Yep.
Everybody can't be Coke.
Yep.
Pepsi is good too, though, right?
Drew Hill's nothing to play with, man.
But Boyz II Men, Drew Hill to me is like, I couldn't take the blonde hair. I'm just being honest with you. Like, when I saw the blonde hair, I was like, that nigga ain't for me.
See, I feel his Cisco's vocals. By the way, I fuck with.
You said what? What'd you
his
say?
His vocals.
Tremendous.
So that song that nigga did, Incomplete is one of the greatest songs.
Shout out to Montel Jordan.
Yep. Yes.
For writing that song.
Incredible.
Yeah, Cisco, we're talking about male R&B vocalists now, and I know, Ray, you guys have talked about it. I've seen it on other podcasts. Cisco would definitely be in the top five to me.
No question. No argument.
Give us your top five.
Hold on. I can name five.
Vocal.
I can name five.
Vocal.
That sing better than Cisco. Vocal. Five.
Sing.
What?
Gay.
I'm gonna get you. I ain't worried about you, nigga. I'm worried about the vocalists in the room. Nigga, I don't argue with you all day, but she actually can sing. So I'm like, hold on.
Okay, so are we doing top five or top three? Okay,
Mario
top
can
five.
Sing better than Cisco. Mario is one of the greatest singers alive. Don't look at her. Nigga, keep reading like this. Say something, motherfucker. Say something. Mario is vocally gifted. No, if y'all think it's one that I don't agree with, challenge me. But Mario, to me, sings better than Cisco.
Mario is crazy.
He's crazy, yeah. But...
Ooh. Wanye is good. Fuck you. Go ahead. I'm going to let you finish, but...
I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
Okay, Wanye can sing better than Cisco to me. I personally think JoJo, KC, I will put them, to me... Mm-hmm. They sing better than Cisco. Hold on. Let me figure out. Let me get some more. Oh, fuck y'all.
Mm.
Usher. Four. Mm. And number five, I'm going to just say it because it's controversial. And it's true. R. Kelly.
R. Kelly in a class by himself. Mm. We already understand that.
But R. Kelly in different classes is pen.
No, but he can sing.
Oh, my God.
R. Kelly can sing.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to just throw one more on top because y'all probably ain't thinking about him. Prince was incredible. That nigga can do things with his voice. He can do everything with his voice. Prince was ill. And by the way, and let's be clear, Brian McKnight too. Even though I hate my One Last Cry.
Mm.
Brian McKnight.
Well, I'm gonna jump in here.
Jump in here. Let's go. Watch Rick back here. Well, look at Rick. Why keep the camera on Rick? Because Rick gonna follow her so hard.
And here's the thing. In no particular order either. I'm just talking about great voices live, great tones, in no particular order.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite voices is Tank.
Shout out to that nigga, Tank.
Shout out to Tank.
That's my nigga. He can sing his ass off.
It's not too many that can hang with him. Usher, of course. Cisco, of course. Mario, of course.
Baltimore.
And number five, we ain't even named the GOAT.
Who?
Joe.
Mm.
Joe, come on. Mm. It's not too many.
Okay, let's get in there.
I can't think of too many that can hang with Joe. I'm sorry. That voice, that tone.
He was a smooth nigga.
Very smooth.
You know, nigga was smooth because the nigga name is Joe.
Joe.
Just one name.
Joe.
Nigga, everybody, it's a world of full names. Like, nigga name ain't like Giovanni or no. Some shit we ain't never heard. That nigga name is Joe. I know a million Joes.
You can't forget Maxwell either, though.
No, I don't know about that.
What?
That's what, because let me tell you why. Because there's a technical part to singing,
yeah.
But there's also a feeling part. Like Cisco can make you feel something. Maxwell has never made me feel anything.
And his range as well. Cisco can really, when you say bring the house down, like it would be thousands of people around the fudgery. We just making fudge. You could hear him from outside.
That's crazy.
People would come in to see him singing about making fudge. That's a singer right there.
Is that still open?
I think
so. If you don't turn that into a fucking movie or a show, I will watch that show.
Y'all were all making fudge. That would be a contest.
I'll watch that show. But y'all working at a fudge shop?
We was working at the fudgery, and Cisco, they used to be called 24 Karat Golden or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was all the original members, and they all used to work at the fudgery, and we would be making fudge all day, all different flavors. And we would be singing songs. We had our fudge songs to sing, and people would come up. And, of course, Cisco would just steal the show. He'd be laying all on the floor, rolling on the floor.
Oh, shit.
It was like...
By the way, Cisco is a star.
He's a star.
He's a superstar.
Always been a superstar.
I just couldn't get with the blonde hair. That was just my only thing.
Well, the group was 24 Karat Gold.
Right, 24 Karat Gold.
Fuck, I'm like, what you expect, nigga? Hold on, Kimmy, you ain't off the hook. We got a couple more coming for you.
All right.
Okay, what are we? Okay, I like where you went with this one. This is a good one. I'm gonna save the top one for last. I'm gonna do you three more. Usher, CB, Kells. Exclude the past.
Oh man. Oh damn. I messed up though, but we said we put R. Kelly in a different category.
Yes.
He just, because he is like the GOAT singer. Like, I'm just going off of just straight vocals and talent, writing ability, production. He's just something different. Man, R. Kelly, number one singer. Who else you say?
Usher, CB.
Usher and Chris Brown.
Which one are you doing?
I'm doing R. Kelly first. Usher.
So we cutting CB.
Do I have to cut him?
Or we donating
to you? Or do I just have to?
I'm donating to the kids.
I'm donating. That's
the best part about this game.
I can't cut Chris
No one
Brown
loses. The kids always
too,
win.
He's right. Too prolific. Right. I got
two more. Okay, because I'm going to save the time for last, but I'm going to do this last one.
Okay.
Timbaland, Pharrell, Missy. That's a good one, Jack.
That's a real good one.
Really good one.
Well, Pharrell has always been the sweetest, nicest, most humble, open, come on in the studio. So Pharrell, we keeping him.
I love that you said that.
Missy, she is a pioneer, a legendary artist, songwriter, arranger. We got to keep her. I guess we cut in Timbaland. There's no more room on the...
I love this game.
It's no more room.
I was thinking it would have been for me. It would have been Pharrell, Tim, Missy.
No,
but I'm like,
but Missy is so different and legendary, and opened so many doors for female songwriters. Like,
all right, last one. You'll like this one. You're not gonna like this one, but I'm gonna love it. Love and War. Live Your Life. Get Me Bodied. All three of your records. Which one of your babies we cutting the head off today? Or we just gonna feed the kids? One of your babies getting a head cut off.
I think, you know, I agree with you. Love and War was such a culture shifter.
Yes.
That's, you know,
incredible.
That's up there. That's gonna go in the history books. What was the other two?
Live Your Life and Get Me Bodied.
Live Your Life again. 9 weeks at number one. Billboard, we can't get rid of that one. That's...
So we cutting...
We're going to cut Get Me Body.
Now, let me tell
you. And I'm going to tell you. I'm
I
got to
just
you.
Pause for 1 second. Okay. Tell the audience something. You know you that motherfucker when you cut a Beyonce song out of your catalog. Finish what you said.
And I just love it.
By the way, not a Beyonce song, a Beyonce hit.
That's
powerful.
Hit.
You should be
and
proud of yourself.
And let me tell you why.
That's incredible.
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay? Now, I collaborate a lot, but I also write hits by myself. Let's not get it twisted. I think people forget that. So... Get Me Bodied was a record that I shared in collaboration and writing with a great team of writers and producers. And so we're going to cut my piece off and let them have
That's good.
Have that.
But not only that, what people don't understand is that the story behind how the song got done also adds to the song.
Yeah.
Yes.
For the person.
Like, yeah.
It's certain mm-hmm. songs that I'm like, oh, we did that. That's cool. But it's certain songs where I'm like, that matters because yeah. of all of the shit that I went through to get that
yeah.
to the finish line. So yeah. I get why you said.
Yeah. yeah. And Get Me Body. Listen, it's nowhere in the world that I can go and you don't hear that song playing somewhere yeah, in the store.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Right. And we had so much fun creating that album. It was like a slumber party in Sony Studios. Mm. Swiss Beats, Rodney, LaShawn, Angie, Beyonce. Shout out to my girl Angie. Solange. Rich Harrison was yeah. there. So it was like a party for yeah. 10 days yeah. up in that studio. So
that's incredible.
Incredible memories of that album.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. So we're done with that game. We have this segment what we call Credit Check.
Okay.
Like I said to Deja, I don't give flowers. I mean, I do give flowers, but it's just for flowers. What I want my credit because I can leverage my credit and go get something else mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. So we give people like yourself an opportunity to shout out 2 to 3 unsung heroes in your story mm-hmm. that you just like, I want to shout that person out because they mm-hmm. really played a role. It might have been small for them, but it was huge for you. Like, mm-hmm. who would mm-hmm. you give that to?
We talked about Max Goose.
Shout out to Max
Goose. He was the first executive that really believed in me, mm-hmm. flew all the way to New York to meet with me. So big, huge shout out to Max Goose. Shout out to Sean Tubby Holiday, who mm-hmm. was a publisher at Sony when I signed, and he really championed for me. And I was signed for a long time. I was signed over 15 years. And wow. even in year 14 and year 13, he was still fighting for me. Yeah. He was still like, look, y'all, sure. we got to make this right. We got to do, you know. Yeah. He really, really looked out for me and my family That's at times. So shout out to Tubby, who is like my cousin, like, mm-hmm. you know. Who else? So many people. Shout out to Mark Spark Welch, who is now my finance and tax guy. Mm-hmm. He was one of my managers in the beginning and really had my back, really watched out for me. Come to the studio with me, make sure nobody mess with me, make sure I can focus on my work, you know, make sure it's no pressure because he was putting the pressure on yeah. people so I could get those hits. Done. Shout out to Don Gorder, the head of the music business department at Berkeley, who believed that if he let me go and finish in an unconventional way, right? Because you can't just let mm-hmm. everybody who wants to do an internship go. But he really saw something in me. And he said, all right, I need every one of these exams back. And if you do it, I'll let you graduate. Mm. And so not only did he let me go, but I graduated early, which means I had an earlier start in New York City. So, yeah.
That's hard. I love talking to you. I can talk to you all day. Well, you know, I just want to, I ask you one question. If you're talking to, this is my last question for the day. If you're talking to, I want to specifically focus on black female creatives.
Yes.
If you think black women are not protected, black female creatives are way like not protected because they're surrounded by sharks every day. Mm-hmm. If you're talking to a young, everybody watching is young black girls, what would be the advice you give them?
That's such a great question. I would tell them in big, bold, flashing letters, keep it business. Mm. If you're trying to get your paper, if you are trying to succeed in your career, keep it business. There is time for everything else. But you got to be a paper chaser. You are not looking at nothing else. I don't care what looks flossy, what looks glossy. I'm going to do this for you if you do this for me. If it ain't about the money, like T.I. said, like Thug said, if it ain't about the money, we ain't talking about nothing.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. Keep it business.
Yeah.
Go after your paper. Stay focused on that. I think a lot of creatives mess up in that way when they let their guard down and try to make it about other things, thinking it is going to advance you, Mm-mm. but it's not.
Mm-mm. Don't rush.
All it does is pull your respect card, right?
Exactly.
You want to maintain respect.
I'm glad you said that because we live in a society now, especially in our community, where money as long as you're making money, it don't matter how much you disrespected yourself.
Right.
And I'm glad, that's why I wanted to ask you that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad I asked you that because, like, it's rare that I see a woman that I'm like, man, I want my daughter to be like that. Like, because obviously you're walking in your femininity, but you still understand that you have a role in this world. And
absolutely.
You have a purpose.
Yeah.
And I just want to thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely.
You're invited anytime.
Oh, thank you.
And anything we could do to help with the agency, like, I'm serious about that. Like, want to bring girls, we go through, so I don't care what it is. I don't care if we do an all-girl songwriter. I don't care.
Oh, that'd be
cool. Don't have, my only intent is to help you help women, because that's what a man should do. We're supposed to help and support y'all. So
yes.
That's on the table. Thank you to everybody watching. Thank you to Makeba. Thank you to Deja, wrote it, for putting it together. I'm going to say the whole name so they know where to find you. Makeba probably don't want to be found. You know, she's like, when you get to goat status, you're like, I'm going back to my nest. Call me when you need me to come out, right? You know, so it's like that. But yeah, shout out to y'all. And shout out to everybody for watching. Like, share, subscribe. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Two Loss, our sponsor of this show. And shout out to you for watching. And this is our spotlight, and we are out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.